Blog Talk Radio.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We are glad to have you here on this Monday. We're having a good time so far, and we hope you stick with us for this full hour. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We've got our eyes on the state of New Jersey, the Garden State. Their assembly has passed medical marijuana. It is now in the Senate, and the Senate is in session right now. In fact, here they are talking. That Senate session will come up here any minute here. They're just buffering. But we've got our eyes on that. The live audio from the New Jersey legislature out there at njleg.state.nj.us. To repeat, the assembly has passed medical marijuana. It's now in front of the Senate, and if the Senate votes favorably, it'll go to Governor John Corzine's desk for his expected signature, making New Jersey the 14th medical marijuana state in the country. Yes, we are looking forward to that, getting some medical marijuana for our good friends out there on the East Coast who are suffering and could really use it. And also joining me across the state in Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Welcome to the second full week of 2010.
Yeah, that's right. Second full week of 2010. We're recording the show live today so I can publish a higher audio quality. So those of you who are listening to the show live, if you go ahead and get it on a download about an hour after the show ends, you'll get a much higher audio quality. For those of you who have been subscribing through the old stash links, you'll get that higher audio quality file. Also, those of you who didn't know, when this live show goes off the air, we have a piece we call Normal Show Live After the Show. We kind of model it on Oprah's Oxygen Show after the show. And it's a little less formal, no commercial breaks. We're just chatting. So if you want to get on the line and chat with us, talk to me, Cannabis Carrie, or anybody else that's listening to the show, you can give us a call at 347-994-1810. Also, we've got a chat room open. If you're near a computer and you want to ask questions over the chat, you can ask that way. Just go to bit.ly/normalchat. That's normal in capital letters. bit.ly/normalchat. All right. Glad to have you here. We've got some news coming up here just right after this next break. And we want to remind you that we are watching the state of New Jersey. So we may break in at any time if we get some breaking news. We're also hoping we can get Normal New Jersey's executive director, Chris Goldstein, and from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, Ken Wolski and or Jim Miller. But as you can understand, things are pretty hectic right there as they're trying to get medical marijuana passed in the last day of the Governor Corzine administration. The reason this is so important is that we've got an incoming governor, Chris Christie, the Republican, who, while he says he's supportive of medical marijuana, he's certainly not as supportive as Governor Corzine and is more likely to push for more restrictions on what is already the most restrictive medical marijuana bill in the nation. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it's your news with Cannabis Carrie. This is Normal Show Live.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled.
frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the time.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do
medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
An L.A. judge has ordered the California Highway Patrol to return 60 pounds of marijuana to Seguro Davin, who was initially charged with possession of marijuana for sale and transportation. According to court records, Davin was pulled over on Freeway 101 when he was found to be in possession of 60 pounds of cannabis bundled in individual bags. His defense attorney argued that Davin was a member of a Venice marijuana collective and that he was authorized to transport the marijuana under the law. The California Attorney General's guidelines regarding medical marijuana allow collectives to both grow and transport quantities of marijuana for its members. The prosecution's expert witness, California Highway Patrol Sergeant Richard Fuentes, had testified that only caregivers can transport or carry large quantities of marijuana. The law, however, states that members of a collective may transport marijuana on behalf of the group and are exempt from prosecution. Davin's lawyer said that the prosecution's expert witness was therefore unqualified to render an expert opinion in this case because he lacked the knowledge required to distinguish lawful from unlawful possession. Los Angeles County Superior Court Judge William Sterling agreed and ordered the charge of possession for sale dismissed. Davin's attorney then asked for the 60 pounds of marijuana to be returned, which it was. Davin could have faced 4 years in a prison if he had been found guilty. Russ?
Well, I always like a story that involves police giving 60 pounds of weed to someone. I always think that's a good thing. Yes, very nice. No kidding. All right. So once again, though, this story illustrates the problem that exists with medical marijuana laws. I mean, we're all excited about medical marijuana, that there's 13 states that now have it, and New Jersey is just a vote away now from being the 14th state to have medical marijuana. But medical marijuana is just a stopgap measure. It's just a Band-Aid on a huge problem. Medical marijuana patients are always going to have problems with the law, problems with limits, problems with the price, problems with access, so long as 95% of the people that use marijuana are criminals. That's just a fact. You cannot have a white market running alongside a black market without both markets becoming a little bit gray. Now, nobody ever gets upset about the beer trucks driving around town with, you know, gallons and gallons and gallons of beer on board, yet we get a little upset about a guy driving around with 60 pounds of marijuana. Why is that? Well, because everybody can get beer. It's legal for everyone over 21 to get beer. It's legal for people to drive trucks full of beer. But so long as marijuana is illegal for the healthy people, then police have to set up these bright lines of, okay, how much is legal for, is reasonable and legal for medical use, so that we can tell the legitimate medical patients from just those nasty, healthy people who like to get high, right? So as long as medical marijuana exists in this sort of situation, we're going to continue to have these sorts of problems where large amounts are going to get patients or caregivers or collective members in trouble. It also keeps the price high. Anybody who's been to a dispensary in Colorado or California can tell you all about the $15 a gram, the 45 to 60 to 80 even dollar eighths of medicine, when an eighth of ounce of medicine out there on the street costs roughly the same price. It has to go that way because the collectives and the dispensaries can't pay less than the going rate to the growers, lest the growers just sell it out to the black market. And even if they did pay less than the growing rate to going rate to the growers and managed to price their marijuana much lower than the black market, that's just going to lead to diversions of people buying the cheap medical marijuana and selling it for a profit out on the streets. So the prices cannot come down, no matter how much competition there is, until we get legalization for everyone.
According to the Salem News, Oregon Secretary of State Bill Bradbury, who is running against Oregon Governor Kitzhaber in the next election, was asked about his position on medical marijuana, something voters had already approved. The gubernatorial contender didn't flinch or hesitate in his answer. Bradbury is completely behind both industrial hemp and medical marijuana. Incumbent Governor Kitzhaber's office offered no comment. Oregon farmers will soon be allowed to grow industrial hemp thanks to recent changes in state law, although it is still illegal under federal rules. Under current federal policy, industrial hemp can be imported, but it cannot be grown by American farmers. Oregon farmers hope to push that law into acceptance, and other states such as Montana, Hawaii, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Montana, North Dakota, Vermont, and West Virginia have removed barriers to hemp production or research. But unlike North Dakota, where farmers are required to get a permit from the DEA to grow hemp, Oregon and other states do not require a federal permit to grow the commodity. State Secretary Bradbury, who is not afraid to discuss the issue openly, can most likely expect supporters of both cannabis and hemp production to toss some votes his way during the next election. And for more information about national hemp laws, please visit votehemp.org.
Boy, you know, I'm surprised, and it's always bothered me that those of us in the marijuana law reform community haven't stood up stronger for the legalization of hemp. I really believe that hemp is the linchpin that gets marijuana legalized for everyone in this country. Once Americans go back to seeing hemp fields, all, you know, driving across Kansas or Nebraska and seeing massive fields of hemp out there, and once people begin using hemp products and hemp seed oils for on their skin and hemp seed for nutrition, once they find out all the benefits of this amazing plant, aside from it being able to get you high, I think that lowers the bar as far as how much people are scared of it. I think it'll make it much easier for us to pass these initiatives for medical marijuana or for marijuana legalization if we can get people to accept the hemp plant. And again, there's no reason why they shouldn't. Of course, industrial hemp is hemp that is grown at less than 0.3% THC. You could set an entire field on fire and funnel the smoke into one nostril, and you'd never get high, okay? You'd get a massive headache. You might even die from smoke inhalation, but you're not going to get high off of industrial hemp. And the police idea that it would be hard to tell the difference between hemp crops and pot crops is stupid on two levels. Number one, hemp looks different than crop marijuana. It's taller, it's thinner, it's more stalk-like, less bushy flowers like a pot plant. But number two, good pot growers don't want hemp anywhere near their pot. They cross-pollinate. It's like growing seed corn next to feed corn. It's just not going to work. The you'll get bad hemp and you'll get bad marijuana. So once again, we look at the issue of industrial hemp, and it just boggles the mind that anyone thinks that should be illegal.
And in our last story today, a new legislative bill that Senator Chris Romer from Colorado was planning on introducing during the opening week of the new legislative session has been pulled by Senator Romer himself late Saturday night. The bill would have set strict requirements on dispensaries, growers, and caregivers. Activists were gearing up by the thousands to come out and protest this session on Thursday, and the senator seemed ready to fight. But as he announced the death of his current bill, he pledged to revamp his legislative strategy and blamed greed and ignorance for the lack of support for his bill. Jessica Corey, reporting for the Huffington Post this morning, stated that the vast majority of dispensary owners see responsible regulation as a way to gain legitimacy as an industry, but the changes in tax policy and bureaucratic regulation would have been too severe and would have violated states' rules. It also would have granted bureaucrats unlimited discretion to restrict patient and caregiver access to those who could prove good moral character by forcing dispensary applicants to file fingerprints and personal histories with the FBI. Activists say that would allow the government to pick and choose who gets to participate in the market. Romer says he now plans to introduce two separate new bills, one to deal with the need for a meaningful doctor-patient relationship for a medical marijuana referral, and the other to limit caregivers to only 5 patients, a death knell for dispensaries. While we have seen the demise of the first round of regulations in Colorado, activists are gearing up for what could be a long legislative year of protecting their interests.
Yeah, this is what happens. We've seen it in state after state after state that passes medical marijuana. And after the program has been in use and successful for a while, we get this backlash. And this is the backlash usually from law enforcement or business interests that can't believe how many people are registering for marijuana. You know, here in Oregon, they always like to say, well, when you guys proposed this, you said there'd only be 500 medical marijuana patients. And now we're approaching somewhere around 40,000. Same thing goes for Colorado. They've got, 400 applications, I think, a week that are being turned in there.
And I think that's a day, Russ.
Is it a day?
400 applications a day.
That's right. I'm sorry. 400 a day. So this just goes to show something. We want to be legal. We do. You know, they say, oh, this is abuse. This is abuse. So many people are getting medical marijuana. It's abuse. No. It's citizens who are tired of being treated like criminals for taking a medicine to help them with what ails them. And I know some people out there are going to say, oh, yeah, sure, the cancer patient or the AIDS patient, they're okay to have medical marijuana. But a lot of these guys, these are young men, and they're faking it to get medical marijuana. They're faking a backache or they're faking a headache or whatever. And my response to all that has always been, so what? Now, first of all, in any governmental system, in any system for that matter, it's guaranteed you're going to have a non-zero rate of fraud and abuse. We can all agree on that. Now, it doesn't matter what the system is, driver's licenses, food stamps, whatever. There's always a non-zero rate of abuse. Some people will cheat the system. It's a guarantee. So the question is, what is the damage of cheating the system? You used to have a guy who was smoking pot, buying it on the black market, and supporting criminals. You didn't know where he was. And not a dime of what he was spending helped anyone else, except maybe help his dealer buy a new Xbox. If someone is faking to get medical marijuana, they're registering with the state. The state knows where they're at. The state knows how much marijuana they can possess. The state knows where they're getting it from. The state is getting registration fee money, and the state is getting tax money off of the sales taxes that are being paid at these dispensaries. So why is the fraud, why is the abuse, again, if there is some, and there is, but, it's got to be a pretty low number if you ask me. If there is this big problem, what kind of problem is it? Is it really that much of a problem to have 400 people a day registering with the government, telling the government, yes, I smoke pot. Yes, this is where I live. Here's some protection money. Leave me alone. What is the problem with that? I, of course, don't see any issue with that whatsoever.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, we're checking out the Cannabis Community Calendar real quick here at normal.org/calendar. The Denver City Council is meeting today at 1437 Bannock Street in Denver. Check out milehighnormal.org for details. On Wednesday, January 13th, Ohio Normal's having their open meeting via Pal Talk. Check out ohionormal.org for information. On Thursday, January 14th, Off the Steps and Into the House rally in Denver at the Veterans Memorial in Civic Center Park between Lincoln and Broadway to the east of Colfax Avenue. Once again, check out milehighnormal.org for more details. And this weekend, Saturday, January 16th, a ton of stuff going on. United States Virgin Islands Normal has the Bordeaux Rasta Fair taking place on St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands for Saturday and Sunday. They'll have an educational booth and petition signing at the U.S. Virgin Islands St. Thomas. Thomas. Michigan Normal's having their first quarter statewide meeting. Check out minormal.org for details. There's also an Ohio Normal, a Miami Valley Normal of Ohio. They're having a meeting at the Middletown Public Library in Middletown, Ohio on Saturday. January meeting for Kansas City Normal is happening. Check out kcnormal.org or call 888-KC-NORMAL for information. New York City Normal is having a membership meeting. Check them out by emailing jay@jgoldstein.net. And finally, also on Saturday, the 12th Annual Medical Marijuana Benefit at Tobacco Road in Miami, Florida. For information on all these events, including websites, contact information, email address, phone numbers, and more, check out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar. We'll be right back after this. Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We're coming back with some shout-outs and your daily toker tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
It's time for your daily toker tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashions. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Thanks, Russ. An amazing artist and friend of the movement, Vic Chestnut, died on Christmas Day 2009 and left behind legions of fans, both famous and ordinary. Vic was a supporter of medical marijuana, which helped him with his own medical problems that stemmed from injuries from a 1983 car accident when he was only 19 years old. The accident left him paralyzed from the neck down. He had limited use of his hands and found out that he could play simple guitar chords. He went on to release 17 albums in his career. A documentary of his life was released back in 1992 called Speed Racer, Welcome to the World of Vic Chestnut. And he also played the role of Terrence in Billy Bob Thornton's movie Sling Blade. but it was the music that he left behind that will be remembered long after we are all gone. Vic Chestnut, much like Townes Van Zandt, was a legend among legends. He was a real musician's musician. He collaborated with the likes of Michael Stipe and Patti Smith. If you don't know his music, you might find yourself tripping down a rabbit hole through his large and largely unknown body of work, poignant and beautiful, humorous and heart-wrenching, at times disturbing and other times joyful. Vic Chestnut's music is raw and open, and at the core, it's pure truth. It's all there for the lover of great folk music and the admirer of good old-fashioned rock and roll, well-written music with meaningful lyrics. I encourage you to visit his webpage, VicChestnut.com, and seek out his music. Even for hardcore fans, there's something new to discover. Vic contributed this song to the 1998 album Hempilation 2, the proceeds of which went to Normal. So in remembrance, rest in peace, Vic.
Okay.
This is Vic Chestnut with We to the Rescue.
Carrie, before we got to that, I wanted to make sure we let people know about your website is not actually Planet Fantastic. It's now CannabisFantastic.com. Check out Carrie's new blog out there. She's collecting news stories and everything. Looks good, Carrie. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Russ.
All right. This is Vic Chestnut with Weed to the Rescue.
Okay. Moses came down from the mountain with a big fat sack. And all into the wind, in the wilderness.
It's what caused
where the spirit is
hanged
out,
and the big fat sack.
It's
the waging for the big daddy buffalo.
That's a little bit of Vic Chestnut with Weed to the Rescue. Check it out at Vic, V-I-C, Chestnut, C-H-E-S-N-U-T-T.com. Yeah, it's a 4.5 minute intro and a 1.5 minute song, but we like it anyway. Weed to the Rescue from Vic Chestnut.
It's a normal shout out.
All right, big shout out today going to the state just north of me, Washington State. We're looking to get activists involved in Washington State to reform the dormant Washington Normal. There's a legislative bill to legalize marijuana in the state of Washington, and it's just a crime that we don't have a state-level active normal chapter out there. So please help me out. Send me an email to stash@normal.org with the subject Washington chapter. If you're living in Washington, especially around the Olympia area, and you're the kind of person who can spend the time and energy to lobby your legislators and help organize your fellow citizens, we need you. Now, we've got a great chapter out in Spokane, Washington, Inland Northwest Normal. They're at innormal.org, and they may be helping as well to revive this Washington Normal chapter. But we just want to get the word out there to everyone. If you're in Washington State, in the Puget Sound area especially, we want you to help us legalize marijuana in Washington State.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORMAL, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORMAL in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at Normal, toll free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at normal, N-O-R-M-L, .org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
All right, it's 30 after the hour. We're halfway through the show, and we're checking up on New Jersey. Still no update from our normal New Jersey leader, Chris Goldstein. Check his Twitter feed out, twitter.com/freedomisgreen. I'm expecting the latest updates from him there. Let's see if we can get any sound out of the New Jersey Assembly, or the Senate, excuse me. Now, it sounds like they're taking a recess right at the moment, and we don't know yet if they have heard the medical marijuana bill there yet. If you're joining us late, the New Jersey Assembly has passed medical marijuana. It's now in front of the Senate for their vote. If it passes the Senate, the bill goes on to Governor John Corzine, possibly for his signature tonight. Now, this is a contentious debate that they're having there, and we are a little worried that if they don't get this passed in time, we will miss the window of getting Governor Corzine's signature. He lost his re-election bid, and therefore the new governor-elect, which is Governor Chris Christie, a Republican, we would have to go through the entire process all over again, getting it through committees, getting it through the Senate and the Assembly to get in front of that new governor for his signature in the next legislative session. So we are in the wee hours now in the state of New Jersey trying to get medical marijuana passed, and we really hope that happens pretty soon. Also, want to go to the phones. Our phone number here is 347-994-1810, and you can call in and tell folks if you've got comments or you just want to let folks know what's going on with marijuana in your neck of the woods. Please give us a call. We're going to go out to Kansas City and Kansas City Normal, and Brandon, I believe, from Kansas City Normal is on the line. Brandon, are you there?
Yeah, hey, Russ, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Brandon. Tell us what's going on in Kansas City. You had something, somebody was touring the state, making some pronouncements.
Yeah, actually, Gary Johnson was the governor of New Mexico from 1994 to 2002. He's a Republican that's been a lifelong advocate of efficient government, lower taxes, protecting civil liberties. So it looks like that he has requested from Dan Veach and amongst the other chapters and offering to come to our state to do a speaking tour.
Oh, wow.
So it sounds like former politicians on pot.
I love
it. All walks of life are coming through this thing.
And, of course, Missouri's got great representation with normal chapters out there. Springfield, Joplin, Kansas City, Missouri Normal. Am I forgetting one?
You say Springfield?
Yeah, I got Springfield.
Yeah, we got so many I can't even count, Russ.
Well, you've got the list at kcnormal.org, I hope.
Yes. You can go to kcnormal.org, another really good website. I think my favorite chapter website and chapter website designer Garrett Overstreet
does this
from Tulsa Normal. It's joplin-normal.org, and Joplin's also in the chat room. Kelly Maddie. Hello, Kelly.
Right on.
Oh,
hey,
yeah,
Kelly.
St. Louis.
That's right.
We forgot to mention St. Louis.
St. Louis Normal, that's right.
And we are going to be having our Missouri conference, I want to say March 20th. Yeah, March 20th.
All right.
Is the day I believe that we're going to be having that. You can always check out what Missouri is doing in Kansas City at events.kcnormal.org. kcnormal.org.
Right on. And folks, Missouri is really doing great work out there. The state is well organized. The activists are very energized and excited. What's going on as far as passing any marijuana law reforms in Missouri? I know you've got a number of cities that have lowest law enforcement priority. Anything coming up on the state level?
Well, the state level, you know, we've been telling everyone to get a hold of Republicans that are in our House, because Kate Miners from Kansas City, she's introduced a bill. I believe this is going to be the fourth year she's introduced Bill 277, which is the medical marijuana bill from Missouri. Now, it's being tied up by our Speaker of the House, Ron Richards, who hails from Joplin, which I do not understand why he hails from Joplin, because I went to the Cannabis Revival Rust this last year,
yeah,
in 2009, and there was about 6,000 people there. I didn't see any of his constituents, and I'm sorry, but 6,000 people, I don't know how many people are in Joplin, but that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think it supersedes the population in Joplin. He sure as heck wasn't he's not being well represented from
Yeah.
Joplin, I'll tell you that.
Well, Brandon, I thank you for calling in here to the show. Check out kcnormal.org on the web, or you can call 888-KC-NORMAL if you've got more information for them. We're going to come over to my side of the continent here, and just north of me in the great state of Washington. We just did a shout-out to the state of Washington. Joining me now on the telephone is Allison Holcomb from the Washington American Civil Liberties Union. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
Hey, I'm glad you called, because I just made a shout out to the, you know, to activists in Washington State to try to get them involved with Normal and to try to help push along these this legalization bill that you've got going there. Could you tell our listeners some of the details in that bill?
Absolutely. There are actually two very exciting marijuana law reform proposals pending in the Washington State Legislature this session, and both of these bills are scheduled for hearing this Wednesday, January 13th at 1:30 p.m. before the House Committee on Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness. That's down in the Washington State Capitol in Olympia in the John L. O'Brien Building, and it's in Hearing Room E. And we encourage everyone to come in. Even if you don't want to testify, you can sign in either to support or to oppose, and hopefully everyone who's listening will sign in to support both of these bills. The first bill is House Bill 1177 with prime sponsor Representative Babe Upthegrove and 11 other co-sponsors. And the second bill is House Bill 2401, introduced by Representative Mary Lou Dickerson and 5 co-sponsors. What 1177 does is essentially decriminalize adult possession of marijuana, very similar to what Massachusetts did via ballot initiative in 2008. And what House Bill 2401 would be to require the Washington State Liquor Control Board to tax and regulate production and distribution of marijuana for adults 21 and over. And what's especially exciting about both of these bills, Russ, is that this is the first time that we've seen a state legislature really seriously look at the issue of reforming our marijuana laws since Normal took the lead and pressed 11 states to decriminalize marijuana back in the 70s.
Yeah, we're excited about this bill, and I'm wondering, you know, politically, with the two bills that are being forth, you know, 1177 is a decrim bill, you know, still illegal, mm-hmm. but we're just going to give you a fine kind of thing, whereas the 2401 is, you know, full-blown tax and reg. Do you think that the 2401 was submitted to kind of scare the legislators, kind of say, hey, you know, give us decrim or look what you could get?
You know, I don't think so. I think that Representative Dickerson very wisely said, you know, we really need to push for the full conversation. And while we may not be ready to pass a full tax and regulate bill during this session in 2010, we definitely need to have the conversation about whether or not this is where the state of Washington and really the country as a whole wants to go, whether or not we want to regulate the production and distribution of marijuana and take it out of the hands of the illegal market. And specifically right now what we're seeing, of course, is all the violence going on in Mexico. You know, I think that's a conversation that she legitimately wants to have, and she wants to engage Congress at the federal level and say, what can we do with our federal laws to make it possible to restore to the states the ability to regulate this activity? House Bill 1177, marijuana decriminalization, that's something that we can do now and that we know that Washington state voters are ready to do now. And I think that really what 2401 about is you know, we're not stopping by saying we need to decriminalize the adult possession of marijuana. We need to have a bigger discussion, and let's make sure we keep that ball rolling.
Excellent. And so this hearing is on this Wednesday. Did I read correctly? I think I was catching the Twitter this morning, and I think I saw on somebody's tweet that you've got some luminaries that are going to be testifying there.
That's right. There's a couple of different things that are going on. At the hearing itself, we're expecting for Sal Mangia, who is the president of the Washington State Bar Association, to testify in favor of House Bill 1177. As you may know, the Washington State Bar Association voted in December to support the decriminalization of marijuana possession. We also expect for the executive director of the King County Medical Society, for the president of the King County Bar Association, and for other luminaries to be testifying at the hearing itself Wednesday afternoon. The evening before, at the Capitol Theater in Olympia, we'll be hosting a forum featuring Rick Steves, who is a member of Normal's advisory board, of course, and is also a travel writer and television host, as well as Senator Gene Colwells, who's the prime sponsor of Senate Bill 5615, which is the companion bill for House Bill 1177. Senate Bill 5615 was voted out of its committee in the 2009 session and is alive for consideration in this session as well. And we're hoping to see it brought to the Senate floor for a full vote. In addition to Rick and Senator Colwells, we're going to have Representative Mary Helen Roberts, who is a co-sponsor of both House Bill 1177 and House Bill 2401, and Representative Brendan Williams, who is from the legislative district in which Olympia sits. He is also a co-sponsor of House Bill 1177. So all four of these folks are going to be at a forum talking about this issue. The doors to the theater open at 6 p.m. The program starts at 6:30, and it's free admission. Everyone in the public is invited.
Excellent. Everybody check that out. And Allison, if you'll send me an email with all those details, I'll get it posted up on our blog at stash.normal.org.
Happy to do that, Russ.
Excellent. And, let's look back at the tax and reg bill, number 2401 from Representative Dickerson here. What are some of the details involved here? You mentioned it being sold at liquor stores. Is there any concern about that from some people?
You know, I have heard that some people are concerned about whether or not marijuana and alcohol should be sold at the same location. And I'm not really clear as to what some of those concerns are, but I think that that's something that we want to talk about. The bill would make it legal for anyone 21 and over to purchase a marijuana from a liquor store. One of the things that 2401 doesn't do that I have heard some concerns about is decriminalize the private growing of marijuana. If somebody wanted to have a small marijuana garden to produce marijuana for their own personal use, it doesn't actually provide a way to do that. And I think that that may have simply been a little bit of an oversight. As you know, with beer and wine, there is a provision in our liquor laws to allow for individuals to produce their own limited quantity of beer and wine at home for their own personal use. And I think that's what some folks were hoping that 2401 would include, in addition to having it available through state stores. So that's one issue that I think needs to be worked out.
Okay. Well, Allison Holcomb from the American Civil Liberties Union of Washington. Folks, I know you want to support Normal and all the other marijuana orgs, but civil liberties are bigger than just your right to smoke weed. Check out the ACLU. And Allison, what's the Washington State website address for ACLU?
That's www.aclu-wa.org.
Yeah, check that out. Help them out. And again, we're still shouting out to all the folks in Washington State, especially the Puget Sound or Olympia areas. If you want to get involved in forming a Normal chapter, reviving Washington Normal during this battle, you got two great bills to support. The hard lifting's been done for you. All you got to do is show up and voice your opinion. So please get involved. Send me an email at stash@normal.org. And Allison, thanks again for joining us here on the show. And we look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thanks so much, Russ.
All right, Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. We're going to take a short pause for the good cause. When we come back, Paul Armentano with an update on the state of New Jersey.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Join the conversation now. Call Normal Show Live, 347-994-1810. That's 1-347-994-1810. We're taking your calls now.
All right, Stashers, it's 45 after the hour. We're going to be speaking now with Paul Armentano, calling in from the great state of California, but giving us an update on the other side of the country, the great state of New Jersey. Paul, welcome back.
Hi, Ross. How are you?
I'm doing good. The latest news I was able to get out to folks was that the New Jersey Assembly had passed this bill. Where are we at right this minute?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell people that, in fact, that is correct, and the vote was 48-14. So this was a very strong vote by the Assembly in favor of regulating the medical use of marijuana in New Jersey. At this point, what needs to happen, what is expected to happen, is in the next few hours, the Senate, which had already strongly approved the medical use of marijuana many months ago, they need to look at the version of the legislation that was passed by the Assembly, and they need essentially to either sign off on that language or leadership from both chambers need to confer and come up with one set of provisions that they all agree on. And when that happens, the Senate would then sign off on the legislation, and it would go to the outgoing governor for his signature immediately.
And so we're looking at this possibly having an answer by the end of this evening?
Yes, but I wouldn't expect to have that answer till late this evening.
Right.
There was some talk that in previous years, this final day of the lame duck session, that legislators and lawmakers, they can be there well after midnight.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll stay up on that, and we've got the live streaming audio. You can get at it, too, at the website for the New Jersey Legislature. It's njleg.state.nj.us, and just follow the links to their live assemblies. Now, Paul, last I had also checked on this, the Senate version, you know, was a pretty restrictive bill, and then the Assembly version got even more restrictive. Can you tell us any details on what managed to get through their conferences and what they're voting on as far as restrictive measure here for medical marijuana?
Well, if people go to the normal site, there is a blog post on the front page, and embedded in that post, there is a link to the final version of the amended bill that went before the Assembly. So people can see all of the different provisions that were agreed upon by the Assembly by going to our site. But you are correct. There was a very restrictive version, a substitute version of this bill that was approved by the Assembly Committee on Health several months back. And this was a much more restrictive version of the legislation that was approved initially by the Senate. What the full House voted on was a version of the bill that was actually somewhere in the middle of the two. It was not as broad as the Senate version, but it was not as restrictive as was the version initially substituted by the Assembly Committee on Health.
So some of these restrictions are things like taking away anyone's right to grow at home or restricting the number of ounces they may possess?
The most significant restriction that I was aware of that was still included in the amended assembly bill was that provision that some patients could grow their own had been removed. Now, that was a very contentious issue. The Senate version of the bill did allow patients to grow their own marijuana, as is the case in all of the states that right now allow for the legal use of marijuana. However, the Assembly Health Committee leadership removed that provision. Normal and many activists on the ground in New Jersey spent many months lobbying the legislature to re-include that provision. But at this point, I don't believe that that provision has been reintroduced in the bill. There were limits imposed on how much marijuana a patient could possess, and that was something that was actually expanded at the last minute by the assembly. And there also was language that was proposed initially to only limit dispensaries to nonprofit operations. And I believe in the most recent version of this bill before the assembly that there is language to allow for dispensaries to be both nonprofit and for-profit facilities.
You know, it strikes me as odd because it seems to me these East Coast legislators, we had the same discussions about Pennsylvania, for example. These East Coast legislators want to bring up the specter of the perception of California and Colorado, saying things are out of control. And that's usually their reasoning for wanting to have more restrictive language. And yet they want to go forward with dispensaries, which many medical marijuana states don't have. Why the difference here? What are they so scared of? And what can we do to end this perception of the Wild West of marijuana?
That's a great question, Russ. And, you know, if I had the answer to it, there might be a different political landscape right now. I think what is going on is that many of the Western states that passed medical marijuana legislation did so several years ago. And it has come to the realization, both of patients, both of the activist community, and also politicians in recent years, that if we're going to allow patients legal use of marijuana as a medicine, then they need to have an above-ground regulated source where they can procure that medicine. So on the East Coast, when you're looking at states like Rhode Island and New Jersey and Vermont that's discussing this issue as well, these are legislators that just in the last couple of years have begun tackling this issue. And so they are tackling it with the recognition that in any sound medical marijuana policy, there has to be a system in place to allow for dispensing the medicine. So that's why you're seeing these East Coast states tackle the issue of dispensaries. At the same time, they're just beginning to come to grips with allowing the medical use of marijuana overall. And they're still skittish because they don't have any real-world experience with medical marijuana, unlike we have here on the West Coast. But they acknowledge that if they're going to pass medical marijuana, you got to have a distribution system in place, too.
Yeah, we got to do something to get access to the patients that really need it. Paul Armentano is the deputy director of Normal and the Normal Foundation. He joins us for Government at Work and Behind the Headlines. And anytime we need an expert on marijuana, Paul's always there for us. Thanks a lot, Paul. We appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Russ.
All right, we're winding things up here on Normal Show Live. We've got about 6 minutes left, so if you feel like calling in and just having a chat, the phone number here is 347-994-1810. We've also got folks in the chat room at bit.ly/normalchat looking for questions there. If anyone wants to bring up any questions online, I see we got about 20, 21 people out there in the chat room, so let me know what your questions might be. I want to really quickly address sports. Of course, this weekend was the NFL playoffs, and my beloved 12-time world champion Green Bay Packers valiantly, I tell you, overcame a 21-point deficit of their own making to force overtime in that game. only to lose on a really freaky play. And, you know, the first play of the game was kind of freaky. The last play of the game was kind of freaky. So I guess it worked out the way it was supposed to. 51-45 with the score. It's more of a college basketball score than a football score. The highest scoring NFL postseason game ever. 996 points in that game. The reason I bring this up, though, is because I want to just briefly address the subject of marijuana in the NFL and more broadly in sports in general. They're giving out all of the postseason awards, which include things like the offensive MVP, which quarterback Peyton Manning won for the record fourth time, beating the record of the quarterback formerly known as Brett Favre. And speaking of the quarterback formerly known as Brett Favre, for the Minnesota Vikings, Percy Harvin, one of his favorite targets as wide receiver, won the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. He received 41 of 50 votes after setting a Vikings record with 2,081 all-purpose yards in 15 games. That total left him with one of the best all-around rookie seasons in NFL history. Harvin was considered a controversial draft pick after he tested positive for marijuana use at the February scouting combine. But as it turned out, the biggest problem he encountered was an intensification of migraine headaches that has plagued him for much of his life. Migraines caused him to miss the Vikings rookie minicamp, the NFL's rookie symposium, and a game against Cincinnati last month. Well, gee whiz, what do you suppose he was using marijuana for in the first place? Look, stoners have caught the last two Super Bowl winning catches, Plaxico Burress and Santonio Holmes, respectively, in the last two Super Bowls, caught the winning NFL Super Bowl touchdown catch, and they're both known for having their troubles getting caught with marijuana. It goes to show that these high-level athletes can function just fine through the use of marijuana. And for someone like Percy Harvin here, who suffers from migraine, perhaps that's the best medicine for him. It appears to be, because if he tested positive in February at the scouting combine, it's likely that he would have had to gone into the NFL substance abuse program and stop using marijuana. He stops using marijuana, the migraine headaches come back, he misses rookie minicamp, rookie symposium, and a game. Would you be better off with Percy Harvin on the field? Better off with Percy Harvin at the minicamps? I mean, my God, look how good he was without minicamp. Can you imagine if he was able to attend because he was able to use a safe, non-toxic remedy, an herbal remedy for his migraine headaches? This really makes me mad, and partially because it hits personally for me. I'm a medical marijuana caregiver here in the state of Oregon, and my wife is a patient. She is who I treat. And one of two pain conditions that she suffers from for her legitimate use of medical marijuana is migraine headaches. And so every time I see one of these stories about, well, you know, these young people are coming into the stores and getting medical marijuana, obviously it's fake. These are people that have obviously never had a migraine headache. They never sat and held their wife's hair as they puked into the toilet, and finally, when there's nothing left, dry heaving, crying, sweating, shivering in the dark, because you can't turn on any lights when there's a migraine headache going on. And what would the doctors back in Idaho tell me to do when we lived back in Idaho? Well, it was go to the emergency room and get her a shot of Demerol. Now, you get a shot of Demerol, sure, that's legal, but it costs you $600 to go to the emergency room, and don't make any plans, because after about after you have a shot of Demerol for about 2 days, you are useless as far as being a worker or being anyone who can contribute at the workforce. So that was the solution back in Idaho, was to go have this heavy duty opioid painkiller that would knock my wife out for 2 days, knock her out of work, or we could move to Oregon and she could smoke a joint, which works better than the Demerol and allows her to go to work the next day. You know, they always bring up this idea that medical marijuana or that marijuana use leads to declines in the workplace, declines in workplace productivity. Well, how much decline in workplace productivity is it when you've got a middle manager who has to take 2 sick days because of the treatment for her migraine headaches? She was much more productive when she was able to use medical marijuana here in the state of Oregon. That's all we're saying here. The people need to be given this choice seconds. To have a safer, non-toxic, herbal remedy that can help them out. Well, that music means it's time to wrap up the show. It always goes so quickly here at Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at stash.normal.org for more of Marijuana Nation. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ Belville. And for those of you listening on the phone or listening on the podcast, coming up next is Normal Show Live after the show. our little 5 to 10 minute chat where we get all casual and friendly.
60 seconds.
You can give us a call, 347-994-1810, if you want to continue to listen.
Call 347-994-1810. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Hey everybody, if you're still listening, welcome to Normal Show Live after the show. Our little casual chat between you, me, Cannabis Carrie, and everyone in cyberspace. Welcome.
This is Normal Show Live.
All right.
After the show.
Normal Show Live after the show. Hey, Carrie, how are you?
Hey, Russ, how are you feeling? You didn't sound sick at all.
I know.
You must be feeling a little better.
Well, no, it's because I'm a professional, eh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, we missed a question in the chat room. James Crosby wanted to know what we think of MPP's Nevada proposal. He doesn't like it because it omits personal growing, which he feels is the key.
Oh, yeah, that's no good. Don't like that much at all. Let me tell folks a little bit about this. The Nevada proposal here, MPP is got Nevadans for Sensible Marijuana Policy, I believe is the group, because, you know, it's got to have the word sensitive or sensible in it, right? They all have to be sensible at this point. That seems to be kind of the standard at these things. Let me bring up some audio for you on this. First of all, folks, what we're talking about here is the right to home grow. And Normal has always been a marijuana consumer's lobby and one of our strongest platforms in being your voice in marijuana law reform is to stand up for your right to plant seeds. Your right to plant seeds and farm a crop. I mean, when you think about America and you think about how far we go back, 1611, the first hemp plantation was started at the Jamestown colony. And by the time we declared our independence in 1776, the major economic staple of this country was hemp. Okay, tobacco, hemp, cotton, largely a lot of hemp. The Constitution was drafted on hemp paper. The Declaration of Independence was drafted on hemp paper. Our sailing ships in the Navy that helped us in the War of 1812 had hemp sails and hemp rigging. We used hemp for victory in World War II. It's our American heritage to be able to grow this plant. And it's got to be, as far as I'm concerned, it's got to be an inalienable right. Okay, it's not a right granted by government or recognized by men. This is a right granted by our creator. And whatever you decide you want to think that creator is, if we don't have the right to the plants on this planet and the ability to be able to plant them and use them for ourselves, I just don't know what kind of rights we actually have, because that seems to me to be one of the strongest ones here. So
Terry from Astoria calls it a crime against humanity that hemp is illegal.
Yes, absolutely. A crime against, that's a very good way to put it. And I'm trying to find an audio clip here that I had that addresses this subject. And I don't know if I left it on my desktop or what. I'm trying to pull this one up here. But it regards what they call the 25-mile halo. Here we go, the 25-mile halo. And what this was about is that in Nevada, they want to pass this legalization initiative here. I'm sorry, wait a minute, hold on. Arizona is the one I'm thinking of as far as the medical marijuana halo, pardon me. Nevada's is the one for legalization, but it also omits personal growing. And to my way of thinking here, I don't understand why. I don't understand what the need is to eliminate this right. You know, oftentimes when they're making legislation, they have to negotiate one point for another point. I don't understand why anybody would want to trade away the right to home grow. Because as marijuana consumers, our only protection against either the black market or, once it's legalized, the government and the capitalists is our ability to grow our own. If they start charging us too much, taxing us too high, giving us inferior marijuana, our only comeback is to be able to grow our own and to keep the supply available. So that's one thing. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and thanks, James, for that question from the chat room, has to do with Arizona's medical marijuana initiative also being run by the Marijuana Policy Project. This one is the one that has the so-called 25-mile halo. The idea here is that if you live in Arizona and you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you cannot grow your own. You're not allowed to grow your own, and you must purchase from that dispensary. Okay. And the reasoning behind that is pretty insidious, if you ask me. And I was really concerned about this when I first read this language, because I could see it as what I call, it's a dispensary subsidy act, right? It creates a system where all urban medical marijuana patients are forced to have to buy a product from one of these dispensaries. And there won't be so many of these dispensaries either. They want to cap it at one dispensary for every 10 pharmacies out there. So urban patients will be very limited and forced to have to grow or have to go to these dispensaries. Now, I was at the Drug Policy Alliance's New Mexico conference. They do this every 2 years. And Karen O'Keefe from Marijuana Policy Project was at one of the panels. And so I asked her about this this regulation, this halo that they want to create, and why was it necessary to give that negotiation point away when medical marijuana is overwhelmingly supported by the people and overwhelmingly successful in 13 states. The medical marijuana laws should be getting better, not worse. They shouldn't be getting more restrictive. During the talk, as she was answering the question, the campaign manager in Arizona, a gentleman whose name I don't remember right off the top of my head, stood up in the audience and asked if he could address that point about the 25-mile halo and why it exists. This is the quote direct from that guy, and I hope it's loud enough for you to be able to hear it. It was recorded in kind of a crowded room with a bad mic, but this is his quote about why they had to have the 25-mile halo.
The 25-mile halo around the dispensaries was, again, to give a market to the dispensaries in the community so they would be viable, so they're available for patients.
The 25-mile halo was to make sure that the dispensaries would be viable and to give a market to the dispensaries. As if anyone who's ever sold marijuana in their life has had trouble coming up with customers. Yeah, we need to force people to go to dispensaries because, you know, without that, they'd never go to a dispensary, right? But meanwhile, a few minutes down the conversation, he goes on to talk about, well, most of the people that want medical marijuana don't want to grow for themselves anyway. 95% of the people would want to go to dispensaries. Well, gosh, if so many people would want to go to dispensaries and not grow for themselves, why do the dispensaries need a forced customer base? You can't have it both ways. You're contradicting yourself with that. You're saying most of the people want to go to a dispensary, but we need to force them to go to a dispensary so that they'll be viable. It just doesn't work for me. I'm really upset about this Arizona law, this initiative that's being put forth, and I hope we get something better through negotiations or something, because that just goes right against everything I believe as far as taking care of patients and our right to home grow. So there. I hope I answered the question.
Wow, I think you answered it pretty good, Russ.
Oh, thank you. Pookie's out there listening
to us.
Bring
Pookie up. I think Pookie wants to listen.
Pookie wants to say something here? All right.
Well, I think so.
Pookie, are you out there?
Yes, indeed I am.
Hi, Pookie. What do you want to say?
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Well, the reason that they want to prevent home growing is because, I mean, look at the price of vegetables, because you can grow your own vegetables.
Right.
They never get expensive. It's a matter of... I think this is the only way they think that they can get this through,
mm-hmm.
because big pharmaceutical companies are not going to be going for people to be able to grow their own medicine.
Right, and especially as
it's a
pharmaceutical
issue.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like I say, it's a subsidy. It's a way of keeping the price artificially high for these capitalists who want to make a buck off of us.
It is also not going to do a darn thing to reduce the Mexican cartels.
Oh, absolutely.
Because as long as people have to go to or have to do it a certain way, that's the same as a prohibition.
Yeah. You know why Mexican cartels don't smuggle in and sell sugar? Because it's cheap as hell. They can't make any money off it. There's no. So this keeping the marijuana prices artificially high through, you know, partial decriminalization or partial legalization in the medical way just keeps the price high enough for those Mexican cartels to stay in business and provides them a larger customer base.
Well, at this point, I had this thought out. At this point, the AMA has reversed itself on the scheduling system.
Right.
I think it cannot be much longer before medical is legal completely.
Yeah.
But the most logical way for them to go about that would be to treat it like any other prescription drug.
Yeah, there's that, you know, and people talk about changing the schedule, you know, bringing it down to Schedule 2 or Schedule 3 or something like that. And I think that's a good intermediate step, but it still it prevents people from that are healthy, that want to access marijuana, from being able to get at it.
And you still have corporate America, the health, the insurance companies, and the pharmaceutical companies in charge of it.
Absolutely, yeah, that's...
And as long as you have something that people can grow in their backyard, but they're not allowed to,
mm-hmm.
there will always be a market.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Thanks, Pookie. You're always listening here on the show. We let you hang out there on the phone lines. Appreciate you adding your voice to the conversation. Got to run things out here. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm a little bit ill, and I think I'm running out of gas here, folks. So, Carrie, anything to say to go here?
Nope, other than feel better, because we have to do it all over again tomorrow.
All right. We will do it all over again tomorrow. Stash.normal.org. We'll be here to play some music out for you. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.